Hi, I'm Lori Jones, President and CEO of Avaset Communications and host of StrategyCast. Join me and my guests, innovators, disruptors, and visionaries as we explore bold and brave marketing strategies that help you transform, scale, and grow your brand. Get ready for some financial finesse mixed with marketing mastery on this episode of StrategyCast. Today, we're joined by Christopher Schwalbach, founder of AVL Growth Partners. He's a maestro at melding finance and marketing to drive colossal growth. We're diving into the art of running smart experiments that transcend trial and error, validate hypothesis in real time, and boost customer acquisition and revenue. And check out the most recent issue of the Strategy First newsletter on strategycast.com. Just like this episode, it's full of inspiration and a ton of ideas that will elevate your strategies and marketing know-how.
A competitive edge starts with strategy, and strategy starts with knowing how to develop one. StrategyCast is a leading marketing podcast that serves up strategic insights, trends, and tips to help separate your business from the pack. Tune in weekly as host Lori Jones interviews bold marketing leaders who have priceless wisdom and are willing to share. Each episode explores cutting-edge approaches that have proven instrumental in transforming brands into industry trailblazers.
Welcome to StrategyCast. I am so excited to have Chris Schwalbach on the show today, who is the founder of AVL Growth Partners. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited to talk today and have this conversation.
I know. I tell you, it's going to be a meaty one because guess what, people? We have a finance man on the show. And there's so much that we work through with marketing, with finance. And what we're going to dive in today is really running experiments to build the relationship between CFOs and CMOs. It sounds like just a glorious thing to be happening in today's business world. Tell us a little bit more about your background and then tee up where it was that you started, you know, interacting with CMOs and marketing teams where you said, you know what, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I started AVL Growth Partners in 2009. I came up through kind of the venture tech side of the industry. And back in 2009, there weren't a lot of fractional CFOs. And part of it was a burgeoning industry at that time. And now fractional is much more pervasive. But, you know, really what I found at that time is that when I was working in these tech startups, I was able to do a lot of the CFO stuff, but being there full time, I would much rather see us allocate the companies I worked with allocate their capital into sales and marketing rather than allocating into finance. So this concept of having just enough CFO on a fractional basis just felt really right, is the right solution. It's like the right amount of CFO for the stage of business to help them get to the next stage and then put that capital into sales and marketing and get to the customer and get the product out the door was just much more the right priority for these companies. And so I built a whole company around that. And it's been really fun and really successful. And I just enjoy that deep part of the growth curve of the early stage. So that's kind of the background it started.
It's so exciting to hear. Actually, it's just a breath of fresh air, quite frankly, to hear a finance team, and I would imagine this is kind of the DNA of AVL at this point, understand the need for sales and marketing, let alone alliance between the two and finance. And is that something that you had an aha moment about in a meeting, you know, many, many years ago before starting AVL, that you just said to yourself, there's got to be a better way, or we can really affect the bottom line, what I'm really trying to manage in a better way?
I think the phrase that one of the mentors I had taught me is just, he's like, don't let accounting be the tail that wags the dog. Mm. The business is what really runs. Finance and accounting just supports that. And I've always felt like finance can be this tail that tries to wag the dog because it wants to be right and important. And yes, the kind of controlling the way things are happening. And it needs to do that to a degree, but it also doesn't need to be the tail that wags the dog. And right. so I've always just had that mindset from a CFO leader that I started working for early in my career. So I think that's probably where it came from.
Yeah, I love it. It's so important. And you know, we work with many, many high-level marketing folks, as you know. And I would say about half of the companies have the same exact mindset of you. And what we really want to be able to talk about today is instilling that mindset or building either upon it that you might already have in-house, but instilling it, marketing being able to help finance instill the concept of alliance and really running experiments to ultimately create an increase in customer acquisition, customer count, sales per customer, top line revenue, bottom line profit, whatever it might be. Talk to us about this concept. Well, first of all, talk to us about why there is so much friction for most marketing and CFO relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets down into, you know, well, let me just start. Like where did running experiments come from? And then I'll kind of get into that, which is one of my first clients that I had at AVL Growth Partners was actually an early stage drug discovery company. So they did experiments for big pharma. And so the CEO was a scientist, a very, very polished scientist. And one of the things he said is the best thing I can do for these pharmaceutical companies is get them an answer that I get them a no answer fast. Mm. Tell them quickly that this doesn't work. They are so appreciative because they can move on to the next thing because they know it's kind of like, we just don't know, right? And so we're trying to get to that, you know, find how do we get to yes? And we have to hit 99 no's to get the one yes or what right. really works, that prime time answer. And so this concept of how do you set up experiments to add speed, you know, to the equation was such a learning experience for me. And that's really kind of where it started. So I think in terms of the CFO-CMO relationship, you know, I just think about this criteria of defining success. Did it work? I mean, how do we know it works? And so some of that, I think when it happens in a silo and this is natural human behavior is like, if I'm part of the bought in, like, how are we coming up with this and how are we defining success? And did this experiment or did this test work? And I'm part of, as the CFO, if I'm part of saying, yes, I believe that is successful, if we can do that, that is the definition of success and we should move forward. I am part of that decision now, you know, and I think there's a big piece of that. I think the other one is, there tends to be this dollars component, right? The finance has this dollar side of the equation in the measurement and the data, and marketing often has a lot of other data points. And it's bringing those two things together that really kind of helps solve like whether it's working or not working. And so I've seen so many times where there is a marketing answer, but we don't necessarily have the dollar equation to say, did it, how much really went into that? And did we design it in an appropriate way? And so let's say there are hard dollars that were spent, but there's a lot of soft dollars that aren't accounted for. And the CFO now questions like, hey, are we really thinking about it fully? Did we really design the experiment to really understand the full cost of what we're thinking about? So that's kind of, that's I think the two cores of CFOs are watching the dollars and they want to know like, how did we really define success in this and how did we measure it? Right. So,
well, and I think all too often the finance teams are not invited to the table by marketing. And that, I mean, you briefly mentioned that, but let's dive into that a little bit more deeply. Why is it that, you know, marketing could actually be building that wedge?
I think that's exactly where this is, like, I think it's fun to go here because I think that's exactly what I think needs can happen and should happen. And I think it's just like, how can we use this to, you know, running experiments thesis to say, how to have that agenda with a CFO, right? And so part of that you know, starts with like, what are the big questions that are being asked here? And like, how do we figure out, how do we solve that? Right. I had a CEO come up to me and say, you know, one part of my team's telling me to reduce prices and like, but we're going to sell a lot more. One part of my team's telling me to raise prices. And he says to me as the CFO, like, what do you think I should do? I just said, you know, you got to design an experiment. Cause I think I've seen situations where both answer, like I've seen one client where one answer is right. And I've seen another client where the other answer is right. And so you've got to figure out and really understand the elasticity around what you're working with. And
right.
I think that if you don't have that capability, and when you think about running experiments, this is agility, this is speed, this is like, and you build this muscle that becomes just powerful for the organization. And I think that that's where I think the CFO can be very powerful in terms of the data structures that happen in the organization to say, how can I help you with the data structures so that we can truly analyze like the results of these experiments, right?
Yeah. How do you, I'm imagining a planning session right now with sales at the table, marketing, you know, maybe ops, product development, and of course, finance. How do you ultimately brainstorm, or what is a good process to brainstorm? What experiments should we start with and run?
Well, I think there's, so as I was thinking about this, I think there's a couple, like, I think there's always experiments just like I would call them tweaking. Mm-hmm. In the tweaking ones, you know, like let's just use the A-B testing as an example. It's like, that's like, we're tweaking certain things. Like, I don't necessarily know if those are the big questions where you would have that cross-functional group together. You know, that might be more of a marketing on its own. Like we're refining. I think what I would say is like this.
A message question would be marketing only. Yeah. A nuance there.
There you go. So if you have that cross-functional group together, I assume you're having a meeting let's call it an expensive meeting, because you have all those people in the right room, in the same room, right?
Right.
So if you have an expensive meeting that costs a lot to all be there, let's make sure we're asking expensive questions, right? About what do we not know, or what would we love to know about the business? And this can be a facilitated session where you're just kind of like moving post-it notes higher on the wall, right? And to say, what do we really need to know over this year? What do we want to prove out during this quarter? And I think you can kind of build those roadmaps on what it is. So that's kind of, honestly, a lot of what I've done. I think where the opportunity for marketing comes in, or sales and marketing, is like, what are the questions we're like, it's, you know, you're almost stepping back from the meeting and saying, what questions are we really asking here? And are we designing anything to help us prove those out? Right.
Right.
And I think that's a really important, you know, element to step back and listen to what we don't know. Yeah.
And there's so much, you know, strategy that goes into it in advance. You know, let's just take the pricing question. Should we raise prices, or should mm-hmm. we decrease prices as a topic? You know, where does the competition stand with pricing? What is the price elasticity, you know, regarding customers and their ability to spend? And that only happens with conducting a lot of research. And then to take that a step further, we always talk about the fact that you can't be all things to all people. And quite often, people are pushing products to market with price emphasis, with quality emphasis, with innovation emphasis, and with customer focus emphasis. And it confuses the customer. When we are working on strategies for customers, we talk about pick two of those and own them. You know, where is the gap in the market that nobody else is, you know, that everyone else is missing, that you can swoop in and take? And that is that in our world leads to, should we raise? You could be a value operator with high price or low price, but that mm-hmm. then leads the question of price.
Yeah. So you're creating, you know, we're starting, this is where we're kind of starting with hypothesis a little
right.
bit, right? And so, you know, so if you look at how we're running experiments and kind of these steps that you go through, it, like, I start with this, like, what questions are we asking, right? And can we, you know, some of these questions are like, how are we positioned in the market, and are we positioning ourselves in the best place? That's a question. Now there's hypothesis around price, right? And so the hypothesis is like, I feel like our brand is really setting us up to operate here and here, and that we're not optimizing that. Okay, so if we have this hypothesis, do we, as this group, do we agree on this hypothesis? Is this something we want to explore and extract more value from the market? And one of the companies I'm working with right now, they're just basically trying to say, can we have bigger contracts and longer contracts, right? They're just like looking to say, how can we set ourselves up to do that in a more prolific way than we and diversify our revenue streams in at the same time? And so we're kind of looking at how do we prove out in a unique way for them. So I think the hypothesis, then we say, now how do we set it up to really measure, ready to go after that? So again, we get it. Specifics are not even the critical part of this, but I think it's just like, we're getting into the next stages of like, well, how do we agree on what good is? Like,
right.
And as a team, and this is where I think marketing and finance can play a really strong role to say, if we can prove this out over this period of time, then we believe that we want to go, we want to take this to the next stage of development or the next stage of go live or whatever you want to call it. How do we get that? How do we organize that buy-in from the experiment? Right.
Yeah. I love that. And do you find that typically marketing would run these meetings, and maybe even marketing and sales jointly, but do you find that outsourced, consultants or agency partners are better off at facilitating these sort of questions, or a combination of the two? People get so close to what they do each and every day that sometimes, most of the time, that outside perspective will see things, see the trees through the forest.
Well, I think it's certainly, it's a unique perspective, because it, in the sense of like, when we come out, when we at AVL Growth Partners come in, we definitely have a more of a neutrality to our opinion in the sense of like, we're not trying to build a kingdom, in that sense. But I've seen, in terms of facilitating it, I've still seen it work in every flavor. I don't think there's any one way to accomplish that. And I've seen sales, I've seen organizations, depending on who the founder is, who the CEO is, do they come from an engineering background, or they come from more of a product marketing background, that can dictate kind of like where it's really coming from as well. As well as like, is it a CRO or is it more of a marketing type? I think it varies tremendously across, but, one of the things that what I've seen is really exciting is when imagine now you start kind of running an experiment, or you start building this muscle, is now imagine the organization that starts to develop a queue of like, we now have a backlog of experiments we know we want to run, and that queue can continually be refined and adjusted and reprioritized based on like kind of what we're learning. And I think that's just really exciting, because when you have the queue, it adds, again, a lot of velocity to the organization, because we know what we're doing next. And I think that's really been something I've seen organizations put into play successfully, and the whole leadership kind of is behind it, because they're already like kind of talking about it the whole time, and it becomes just kind of like part of the organization's fabric over.
Well, the DNA, and you take a look at so many organizations out there, and we're going to dive into this six step process more deeply here in a minute. But there's so many organizations out there that if a campaign is not working, marketing has failed. And if that's an experiment, it's just not notated as an experiment, right? And that DNA, that mindset that throughput to understand that everything that we do, just like in product development, everything we do in marketing is not going to work, then, you know, it just presents this very, very unique area for marketing to ultimately become very, very successful from, because we're exploring, we're trying, we're experimenting so that we can capitalize on what is making the customer react in a positive way.
And I think this is, I think that's a great point to say. This flies in the face of the logic of the CFO, because the CFO would say, you do it, it should work, right? Like, yeah. You put it, and there's so many things that don't work. And when you and I talked in our first call, we were just saying, you know, one of the ones I came up with was like Beachbody, you know, Beachbody. Right. They had so many fantastic failures before they went to infomercials. And the marketing team didn't think infomercials, I would say their hypothesis was like, I'd be shocked if infomercials work, but they did. And that is the thing that took Beachbody from, you know, zero to hundreds of millions of dollars is the infomercial, but they went so many different places first that seemed more logical. And that's why I think you just don't know.
Right.
And so I think you're right. The thought of this experiment, CFOs can say, you know, this whole testing and prodding, and it feels more controlled to a CFO as well, because we're like, we're controlling the time, we're controlling our variables, we're really kind of being measured about it. And I think the CFO is warm to that, measured and controlled. And I think it's a little bit of that building that trust too across the two organizations. So,
well, it's fun. And you know, another thought as you're talking about that, quite often we find that the budget isn't enough in, you know, out of the chute to do something as large as national infomercials or something like that. So as you begin to, I mean, where do you see the budgets being off versus the marketing being off regarding running good experiments?
This is a tough answer, because I've seen, you know, really as the organization builds the muscle around it, then I think a lot of the experience of running these types of running experiments and doing these becomes part of the budgeting and planning process, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because we know, it's almost like, think about it as, how do companies plan their R&D spending? Because that's research and development. We don't know which path is going to go down, yet we're able to say, how much do we really know? And we've learned over time how much R&D we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so if within a marketing budget, we can say, hey, we need to constantly have an allocation around research and development and experiments within this planning process. Yeah, I totally get it. And then again, if we, one of my first jobs working for a CFO at a public company was, he said, 35 people are coming to me every month asking for money outside the budget. I don't have anyone to track the success of whether Jim always makes me money when I give him money to do something, and Frank never gives me anything back when I give him money outside of budget.
There you go.
Was for the CFO was to track everyone's performance relative to their X budget spending. And so I think that was almost like a governance type of thing that he didn't have anyone capable of doing. And so I think that was kind of the opportunity for me to learn a little bit of like how to work outside of budget and look at these budget spendings and like what defines success. So I set up a lot of that criteria for this public company. But so I think it can happen X budget. I think it's just that for the variables and the controls start to become more of the language that the CFO is comfortable with in terms of saying, I know when it's going to end, right? Or I know what we're investing in this, and I can feel comfortable with that. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, I think that's great. I love it. And we're going to repeat this a million times in the show today. It goes back to the DNA of the organization. There's just no doubt about it. So throughout your tenure, your many, many years in working in the CFO role and working with many, many product launches, early stage to late stage, you developed this process. We've talked about, number one, determining the question. We've talked about defining the variables, which is number two. We've just spent some time on writing the hypothesis. Then designing the experiment is where I want to spend some time on next, because that's where marketing really starts to ideate on, okay, what is it that we could do? What channel, you know, is it demand gen? Is it a customer approach? Is it brand marketing? Is it internal comms? I mean, all these different components. And then, you know, what's the segmentation look like? Is it a small audience? Is it a large audience? Is it geographic? What are all those different variables? Talk to us about some of the conversations you've had with marketing at this stage.
You know, the thing that comes to me is just like, you know, a lot of times when we create these experiments, we haven't set up the data capture elements because we, let's just say, if we're going to do something new, our traditional business has said, we're tracking this. So if you, like your example of a channel or a new channel segmentation, I'm just going to use generic, like our warehouse or our data set or Salesforce or whatever it is, just doesn't have that data collection, that field, that thing. It's not ready to do that. So if we're going to try to throw money at it and we're not ready to kind of do the capture of what's happening, that I think that's where a lot of times, because depending on where the CFO sits and where I was talking about the dollar side of it, it's like, hey, when these new channels are coming in, do we have a way to record revenue by this channel? Let's just use that as a generic example. And it's like, well, I can set that up, but let's get that set up in the systems in a way that we can do that through the experiment so that we're now on the same page and we're working as a team to kind of record it. So I think that's kind of I just think about that data capture and like, how are we doing that? So I've run across so many experiments that where it's like, that sounds great, but we actually will not be able to validate that, right? We can run it and we can run the experiment. We'll get the outcome. But we actually don't know if, like, let's just say, remember there's causal effect is this really causing the outcome, or is it just kind of like coincidence, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where designing and making sure that we have the right, you know, thought pattern around how we're going to capture it all comes to fruition. And I think that becomes for the CFO again, becomes the, yes, I truly believe this is causing this, therefore let's go. Right. And I think if we skip kind of that piece and we don't believe in the structure of the experiment, like if the CFO doesn't truly believe in the structure of the experiment and your marketing is saying it's successful, I'm not fully bought in. And therefore we're back. We don't move the ball forward truly.
I think a good example of that, at least something that we at Avocet run into all the time, and a lot of it has to do with ABM approaches. Do we have a list? Do we have a good list? Or do we have to build a list? And the OKRs and KPIs, quite frankly, are completely different in each one of those scenarios. And if marketing is in charge of building prospects and bringing them in through the funnel to sales for them to determine, you know, is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Totally different set of discussions versus marketing. Here is the list of the companies with five different titles at each company on the and the brands that we want to be able to impact, because we know that they are the perfect fit for this company. What can marketing then do to back up the sales approach in that situation?
Yeah, it's
that's something that we run into quite often And I think those are very, very important conversations. And each one of those scenarios is a very important experiment as well. I mean, you're really talking marketing that begins very, very top of funnel versus marketing that could, you know, begin a little bit more mid. I mean, I love this discussion because there's so many different nuances. And the most important thing at the end of the day is ideation and communication in order to get to those experiments to be able to build it out. So you've designed the experiment. The next thing to do that you do is run the experiment. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think this gets another passion of mine was just like, I think about it as the, you know, the drumbeat or the cadence of the organization. And so it's really kind of where is the start and stop? Like, how are we, you know, when are we done? How do we measure it through? And how do we create, you know, that reporting out on what's really happening?
Did it work? Didn't.
Yeah. And it's not different than really what we're doing as an organization, but kind of building that drumbeat of here's what we know so far, here's where we're going. And just making sure that it's being deliberate and resourced correctly, that you know, you're paying attention to it. So it just doesn't get lost in this scheme of life of marketing. And this is where, you know, that's why I think I talk about that cue and building that muscle, because it's like there's possibilities. You're now running multiple experiments at a time, but don't let those experiments, the R&D projects, get lost within, again, if this is 10% of marketing, there's still 90% of marketing happening. So how does this not get lost in the throes? And I think that's an important element to just like say, there's a reporting drumbeat of the organization on these experiments. Yeah.
And the other thing that was very important there that you just said is the percentage of marketing dollars should be allocated to experiments. Right there, it was 10%. Do you see that with companies that are earlier stage and they just don't have a lot of market data yet, that the percentages are much larger?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be all over the board for sure. Right. And I think that, you know, and there's, you know, in some early stage companies, you'd say it's probably inverse.
100%.
It's probably 90% experiments, yeah, yeah. 10%. Like we know, like it's just kind of like we're doing some brand work and we know what we need to do on the brand side, but 90% of this is just like really like testing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all over the board, but I think it's just like recognizing kind of where those are and making sure they have them. Going back to the public company I worked for, so many of these just get lost in the ether of the organization. And I think that's the important part of running the experiments is keeping them front and center. Because if you think about what we're trying to do here, is these are the big new levers. This is R&D. This is the big new levers that can happen. So we get caught up in BAU or the business as usual, right? And we know business as usual works and the flow that we've got works. What we're looking for is these new things that can potentially come out of it. And like that's where, you know, going back to the Beachbody example, I mean, they're running tens of millions of dollars of revenue, but they're looking for this new wedge that could potentially make it 100 million. So that's what they're trying to keep a lens and visibility to, and that's why it's important to like kind of have this reporting kind of like cadence to the experiments for
right.
sure.
And you want to get to, you know, what should we be doing more of, what should we be doing less of? Because a no answer doesn't necessarily mean that you should stop it. It might mean that you need to have it run longer. The duration was too short, or whatever it might be. And then what do we need to stop doing? And that's where this final step is all about, taking action.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, going back to the designing the experiments too, a lot of times you can start small, right? You say very micro and you're like, I want to test something in a region. I want to test something in a, you know, and we can really, with today's technology, you can really kind of splice something very small. The next step in taking action might be, let's do this in four regions, or let's kind of like let's 10x the budget that we had on this. And like, does our conclusion scale, right? And so there might be a phase two to it. So part of that designing experiments is like, can we try something in a micro view and then try it in a macro view? Again, going back to drug discovery, yeah. You know, we tried this the company I worked for was doing stuff on rice, mice and rats. So once it works there, what does the drug company do? They move it into a larger animal, and then they move it into humans. Then they move it into a larger population of humans. And it's a very long process, right? So we were kind of at the top end of that and saying mice and rats are cheap and we can get data really quickly. And so, so I think that's part of the conclude and take action too, is it's like, do we blow this up? Do we kind of move it into production? Like, what are we doing? So and I think that's part of this cadence. And when we have the cue and we build this rhythm and this cadence of what's going on, then it's just that you see that agility and the speed come into the organization. And that's where I think the power really starts to come, starts to show itself. Right.
You know, there's something very unique about the B2B marketing side of this versus like the CBG or even retail. Those organizations that have R&D as a part of their DNA, do you find that they're more apt to this mindset of running experiments versus a retailer who doesn't have the DNA of R&D in the mix? And does that change their mindset regarding testing and scaling?
I don't know retail as well. Just that's not kind of where I come from. It's a little bit more on the e-commerce side and the tech SaaS side, I guess. So I don't know if I can speak to that as well. But I think that there's, a lot of resistance that I've seen. If you kind of clarify and really kind of like codify what we're trying to do, then I think it tends to reduce the resistance in the organization, just because you are building something that has controls, and it feels like you have it's not throwing money to the wind. To use that phrase, and I think that's kind of where I think that's again getting back to where the partnership kind of helps the organization there. Yeah,
if there's a good reason, let's try it. And that's why this process ends up being so important, is you're developing the reasoning behind why you should try this. What are some of the challenges that you've seen along the way?
I think the biggest challenges are keeping keeping the organizational cadence. Like I think there's like this is the symptom of a larger organization thing, is like, where are we going, you know, and just having the drumbeat of the organization. And I think that's really, it goes back to my CFO kind of heritage, which is like the CFO is like, this is what we do every week, this is what we do every month, right, this is what we do every quarter, and really making sure we're speaking at the right elevations. And I think so many companies are not kind of like having that drumbeat. So I think where this kind of falls apart is that we're not kind of like investing in making it a true muscle of the organization, right? So it gets lost in the ether. So I think that's probably part of it. And certainly the same thing goes with not trying to operate as a full team, right? That we're all working together. And I think those are common. I don't trust, like having trust in the organization and having accountability with, you know, true leadership team accountability. I mean, so I think there's some just the downfalls are the basic human behaviors that we see over and over within the organization. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I think we welcome challenges because, you know, it just helps you think that much more and, leave no stone unturned. And it's a lot of fun for our organization. And I also believe that there are a lot of experiments that have gone publicly very, very wrong because this sort of a process wasn't deployed at the forefront. Coca-Cola comes to mind with their new recipe, you know, 2 decades ago, where they just went straight to market with it. And they really didn't follow a typical process to determine whether or not this was going to be viable, let alone whether or not customers wanted it and liked it. And I'm not disparaging it, but there wasn't enough research that went into it. Provide us some insights on where you've seen things go drastically wrong and what companies have done to go ahead and fix it and get them on the right path to success.
Well, I think the thing that comes up for me when you say that is like, when we talk about the hypothesis stage and we're like, I think, we need to add this feature to our product and that our customers will use that feature and that'll extend the amount they use it. That's going to make them stickier. That's going to increase their lifetime value. And where does that hypothesis come from? And I think, again, I'm in this early stage growth stage. And so what will happen is we all agree in the hypothesis. Let's just say the three with this leadership team meeting, we agree with the hypothesis. I'm like, yeah, that sounds exactly what our customers are looking for. Let's do it. And the hypothesis, now we skip this whole thing. We're like, oh, the hypothesis must be right. So now we implement. So we actually don't run an experiment at all because it's like, it seems logical. It seems like that would make sense. But we're also inside and we think we know the customer, like you're saying. And so we're just skipping that step. And it's like, if we got really good at running experiments and if we said, hey, let's, is it this feature? And so we'd say, let's run an experiment and how would we design that experiment? How can we figure out this answer? Could we spend 3 weeks on this to get a better answer? And how would we design an experiment to do that? So I think that's just the biggest one. And it's like, you certainly know the stories of like the CEO founder who was an engineer that loves to code, that can build products, says, I think the feature and adding stuff to the product is going to be the answer to do that. And so then we delay a release, or we extend a release, and then it comes out and it doesn't have the intended it doesn't do the thing you thought it was going to do, right? I think the most fun way that I can talk about this is actually when companies take things away from the product and it does better, right? Or you
exactly
the clients that we actually said we reduced marketing spend on a platform by 70% and it didn't affect sales. And you're like, oh, like that was actually not driving our revenue at all. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we ran an experiment to say, does this marketing spend really have the impact we think we do? Think it does. And like, if we didn't have the muscle to actually test it, we never would have found out and we would have kept spending that money. So thankfully we did that. What if we, stratified these features a little differently and kind of like offered a unique play with a different, different stratification of feature set. We actually worked with a customer that was just hell bent on selling into the enterprise market. And they, that's kind of like their investors wanted the enterprise market. That's where they thought they just think we're going to have the biggest value in the market. They kept designing for the enterprise market. And as there's this hypothesis that kind of came up, which is like, is the middle market possibly our better market to go after? And that this hypothesis was rejected by investors in the sense of, why would we want to go after the middle market? It's harder to access. They had all these reasons, but they ran an experiment to go figure it out. And they had like two sales reps and some marketing focusing on this middle market. And it turned out that it was the LTV in this market was largely eclipsing the enterprise market. And so they that was one experiment. Then they kind of expanded it, and it completely changed the fabric of the organization just because they had the courage to ask a couple of questions and run a hypothesis and kind of like, move their way down this path in a deliberate and go against the grain, so to speak, a little bit too. Yeah.
It's so important. And really what you're talking about here is research, right? And the number one reason, aside from running out of money, that these early stage companies go out of business is they don't have enough research. They haven't done their due diligence with product market fit, with product features and benefits that a customer wants versus what you're telling them they need, let alone the messaging and the marketing and all those things that become very, very important and really niche. Are we niching or, you know, are we going to do something really broad? Is this the right geo? Is it the right audience? Is, you know, just all these sort of things, industry research. Are we really filling a gap in the market that is needed? Or do we just want to be a same old product out there? And that sort of research is so important. And this is equally as important. Running these experiments is as equally important as that big game, you know, game playing research that needs to be done.
Yeah, and I think research gets, it's often scary because it feels like there's no, you know, it's like, how do we know when we're done, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big, that's where Pandora's box comes in. And people say, I don't have time to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so knowing kind of what, like, I think this gets back to the questions
right.
that we're trying to say is like, and that's where I think the, what we're trying to do is like time box this a little bit in the sense of like, well, and maybe I'll go like the whole, what's the Colin Powell quote? Like, you know, you have to make decisions as a leader. You have to make decisions with less information that you'd like, right? And it's knowing kind of like that balance, I think is what you're saying, because there is a ton of research around that. And yes, we have to do that. And yes, we have to run experiments, but we also have to get going.
Right.
But we have to do that in a very deliberate way. I think what
analysis what, by paralysis.
Yeah.
And, or paralysis so I think by analysis, one of the two.
And more of what I kind of think about is it's not, I see a lot of like trying to be too much to too many versus
how can you
just say, we're going to pick to win this and we got to start there and we'll expand. Right. And
right.
I think it's like knowing that very specific thing that you're going to go after. And I think the product market fit can kind of like expand over time. You know, you're going to expand that, but like figure out the one niche you can kind of like, kind of win. And then the riches are in the niches kind of like attitude to
own a niche, then go to the next. Yeah. I love it. Chris, this has been such a great conversation today. I feel like we have to end our time together, but I don't want to. What is the best way for our audience to get a hold of you?
We're at avlgrowth.com. And I think, you know, one of the things that we are finding a tremendous amount of fun and success and getting to know new companies with, so we have like a business evaluation where we go in and we just look at a lot of finance and accounting kind of processes, systems, reporting cadences. And we just kind of help our new prospects by looking at like, where are you on this maturity map of finance and accounting, and where do you want to be as a company and where do you want to go? So I think if like you want to get to know AVL Growth, that's just like a really good starting point and a really good starting conversation that we have with a lot of our prospects. And I love working with those growth companies.
Yeah, so, it's a fun space. We love it too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Jen, audience, you can find me at strategycast.com. Chris, thank you so much for your appearance on StrategyCast.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's a wrap. Thanks for joining us on today's show. We hope your strategic brains are spinning with new ideas and bold inspiration that will elevate your strategies and marketing know-how.